This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by PRMIseattle.com, primary residential mortgage. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
Some of the very same nonprofits and community leaders that have failed over the course of the last several years in taking control of the situation that's leading to gun violence in their neighborhoods, they're asking for more money. They're asking for more trust. And I'm assuming that the King County government will be willing, happily, to give them even more, despite the fact that they don't really have many results to show for it. You add just a little bit under a month ago, in the Central District at Garfield Park, you had a shooting. No one was shot, thankfully, but at the time, there was a Central District Panther Football League game going on. They were practicing, at least. Happened on a Tuesday night. I believe it was a little bit after 6 o'clock. And kids were playing. They were practicing. And then all of a sudden, gunshots ring out. No one was hit. But this is something that's becoming more and more frequent in South King County, in South Seattle. And as you can imagine, it left folks like Larry Evans, the athletic director for the Central District Panthers, shaken. Here he is talking to King 5 about how the parents felt.
You had parents looking for their kids, kids looking for their parents. I mean, it's trauma for a lot of kids because that's new for them.
New for them. And unfortunately, for a lot of them, they're going to get used to this, and they shouldn't. We should be tackling this, but we're not. Why we're not tackling this effectively depends on who you ask. The answer depends on who you ask. There are folks like this parent here who's just saying, what can be done?
The question that I have as a parent is, how are we allocating our resources so that kids can participate in extracurricular activities without the fear of violence?
Now, what do resources mean? Because to me, I look at a problem like this and I say we need more police officers. You will see less random shootings, less gang violence if you have proactive policing. If you have police officers who are a part of the neighborhood and you know that they're going to be driving around or biking around or walking around, you are less likely to commit any act of violence because they don't want to get caught. But unfortunately, we live in a world in which all the cops are demonized, ACAB. And so instead of doing what they should be doing, which is hiring more cops, treating cops well, putting them in neighborhoods so that they can proactively police and be a good part of the neighborhood, getting to know folks, creating relationships with these parents and these kids, creating a relationship where they know that they could trust them, these cops. Instead, we're pushing away from police, and instead, we just want more money to nonprofits. Nonprofits that have been doing outreach work, have been doing work in the community, but haven't actually done much to cut down on the violence, especially given the fact that we, yet again, created a historic violent crime record. Right now, in King County, we have more gun violence, more gun homicides than we did all of last year. We've hit a record. And so folks are talking about putting at least $10 million into a group called the Freedom Project. It's part of the Regional Peacekeepers Collective. And these are this is a group of nonprofits who get together to try to create a safer Central District and a safer King County. And they're demanding $10 million of taxpayer funds to go into this. They made the announcement at this very same park, or playfield, I should say, where the shooting took place. Now, part of the nonprofits that are in this, you've got groups like Community Passageways, which is a total failure. A total failure. You've got some groups I've never heard of. Alive and Free. Progress Pushers. I don't trust any of them with any of the money. But I guess Eugene Youngblood says I should. He's a care coordinator with Freedom Project. I'm sure his heart's in the right place.
How far are we going to let this go before we all start saying it's a crisis?
We should all already be saying it's a crisis, but what are you going to do? You just want the money for what?
Support looks like what you invest your money in and what you spend your time on, right? That's what you support. So if we're here and they label us the experts and they say we know what we're doing and we're the ones who's most needed, then let that show up in the way in which you support us.
Just real quick, and I'll let him finish. You're not an expert. You're not. Because I view expertise as getting results. And I'm not talking Eugene specifically, but I'm talking about these groups specifically and the way that they approach this problem. They seem to believe, not all people who work in these nonprofits believe this, but generally speaking, and certainly from a county and city level, the belief is that police have very limited roles and everything else should be funneled towards these restorative justice projects. Programs that provide art therapy and music therapy to people who are violent gang members. And they don't want to be put in jail. They don't want them put in jail, I should say, because they are teenagers or young adults. They don't believe in youth prison. Including in some really, really harsh cases, rape, murder, no youth prison. Okay, fine, then try them as an adult and put them in an adult prison. Oh, you also don't believe in adult prison because you're prison abolitionists. They instead want money to go into these programs that just are not providing the services and attention that they need. And you can constantly say, well, we need more money so we can do that. But if you've not shown any sort of proof of concept, why would we double or triple down? Because we are in King County. I have no doubt that they'll get the money and probably more. And we'll never hear about how any of their programs are working. We'll never hear any success stories because they're so few and far between. That's the truth of it. I wish that weren't the truth. I wish these restorative justice programs would work. And to be clear, they can work in certain circumstances. But when you're dealing with someone who's already picked up a gun, who's already committed a violent crime that they got caught doing, which likely means they've committed previously, they just didn't get caught, it's too far gone for those for this kind of program outside of jail. Restorative justice in jail, I'm all in. I think that's a great use of money. I think that that would be an amazing program that could actually work and set people up for success once they get out of jail. But if, for example, you've committed a drive-by shooting, if you rob someone at gunpoint, if you shot at someone's car trying to convince them to hand over a purse or something, sorry, jail. You get jail. You get jail. Well, the person came from a troubled background. Okay. Well, you know what? I care more at that point about the victim, not about the suspect. You may not like that. You may think that that's wrongheaded, but that's where most people are, except for the people who run these programs who want second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances.
We need to take that same approach when we're talking about gun violence and know that policy and policing isn't the answer alone.
Okay.
Right? Obviously, we need those things, but those things alone don't work.
Well, see, those things do work. When we had more cops, we had less gun violence. We know that these things do work. It's certainly true that there are still underlying causes, right? We know, for example, that family plays a huge role. And when you come from a broken family, when you come from a family that's together but doesn't give a damn about you, especially if you're boys, boys end up going into gangs. Girls do too. But young boys need father figures in their lives. They need loving parents in their lives. They need loving adults in their lives. And for a lot of them, they don't have it. And then they end up getting taken advantage of by some gang member or some bad influence in the community who's preying on people who don't have strong male figures in their lives. They end up providing that and then they end up putting them on the wrong path. It's predatory. But you don't really hear all that much about the family, do you? It's weird that that part of the conversation has almost completely been ignored. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Don't forget, I was on Tucker Carlson last night, Fox News primetime today. If you miss any of it, You can watch it over at our YouTube page, youtube.com/JasonRants, or text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-877.
What's trending? Let's get political.
Some progressives are mad, which, you know, it kind of puts me in a little bit better mood today, even though it's a Friday and we're on the brink of a weekend. They are mad, these progressive activists, because the Presidential Commission on whether or not they're going to expand the Supreme Court, so far their draft discussion materials were not positive at all. They basically said that if you do this, you are opening up a Pandora's box of problems, that moving forward with a plan to get the court to be larger based on your politics doesn't only take away the faith and support the American people have in this court, the trust they have in the Supreme Court as an institution, but it could be easily abused. And down the line, it could be abused by the exact folks who you're trying to protect the country from. So remember, progressives want a packed court, a larger court, so that they can ensure that they never lose a case. But obviously, at some point, they're not going to be in power. And the president who would get to select the justices could go ahead again and select a whole bunch of conservatives. And in that case, just be hyper-partisan. And do the exact opposite of what their intent was. Now, their intent is nefarious, to be clear. They have nefarious intent. In fact, Jonathan Turley, who's a constitutional law expert, he was on with Fox News today. And he pointed out that the original Joe Biden stance on court packing, before he decided to not take a stance, was the right one.
The public is overwhelmingly against court packing. President Biden called this a boneheaded idea. It hasn't changed. It's still a boneheaded idea. But what is really fascinating to watch is the number of members of Congress and law professors who are saying that we have to pack the court because it's not reading the Constitution the way we read the Constitution.
So the American Constitution Society, which is a leftist group, they put out a statement today that said, "We've said since the commission's beginning that for the commission to provide a meaningful contribution to restoring the legitimacy of our judiciary, it needs to advance a specific list of Supreme Court reforms that can be acted upon in the near term. The discussion material released today unfortunately failed to match the urgency of the situation and do not lay out the solution to the legitimacy crisis before us." Except they're the ones creating a legitimacy crisis. They're going out of their way to delegitimize the Supreme Court. And they're doing that so that they can then rebuild it. What do we say that progressives want to do? They say it. We just repeat it. They say we want to dismantle systems of oppression. They view the Supreme Court as a system of oppression when they're not in charge, when they don't have the majority vote. And so what they're doing is trying to delegitimize it, get people's public opinion to turn against the Supreme Court, and then they swoop on in and they push plans under the theory of, well, we're reforming it to rebuild its legitimacy, that then transform it, rebuild it via social justice lens, via a progressive socialist lens. Mark Joseph Stern over at Slate, he wrote, "This report is an abomination. It assumes that today's Supreme Court is basically apolitical while fretting that reforms with any real teeth would politicize it and potentially break democracy. Republicans must be thrilled with this outcome. It's a gift to the GOP. Mark Joseph Stern is not a very smart person. The court is supposed to be apolitical. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes both sides give indication that maybe they're straying a little bit from that. But for the most part, when you read their opinions, it is apolitical. Mark Joseph Stern has no problem with leftists on the court getting political because he likes their politics. He supports their political positions. So he wants more of them and less of the Amy Coney Barretts, less of the Sam Alitos. They're trying to dismantle this court. And they're going to tell you over and over and over again some more that there's a legitimacy crisis, that democracy is on the line, that this court can lead us to authoritarian rule, they say, as the Democrats are pushing vaccine mandates on everybody. Do not fall for it. Do not fall for it. Because if you do, then there is an actual legitimacy crisis. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the bus?
We finally have even more acknowledgement that the issues that we're seeing, the services that are being stalled or canceled or disrupted in pretty meaningful ways, are in fact a result of the vaccine mandate. It was very weird to hear Governor Jay Inslee starting off his press conference yesterday saying that due to the high number, the 90-ish percent of state workers who have been vaccinated and reported it, due to that high number, there's not going to be any disruption of services coming from the state. But he said that, of course, after about a week's worth of ferry systems being just in shambles. In fact, that day they had announced that they were cutting their services by like 40%. But then there was an acknowledgement later on when he was being questioned by reporters that, okay, yes, there was a sick out. That there was, in fact, a sick out. That when we were told that there was definitely not a sick out, well, I guess they were mistaken. Or they were lying. You have a whole bunch of people who have been calling in sick on purpose because they're doing this in protest of this vaccine mandate. And as a result, you've seen a significant cutback in the services provided because they have a staffing shortage. And remember that only one person who's missing could end up canceling an entire ferry service route. And so Governor Jay Inslee spoke to that yesterday.
The ferry system will attempt to add boats on a daily basis.
They will attempt to add boats on a daily basis. Kind of sounds like there is a service disruption. Now, we haven't heard from any ferry workers who have admitted it publicly, but the governor yesterday explained that the people who were calling in sick were protesting the vaccine mandate.
We believe that some of the problem were people who wanted to demonstrate their displeasure with this requirement, and so they were unwilling to come to work those two weekends. We didn't want that to happen again this weekend, so the ferries made a schedule change.
But he just said that there were no expectations of service interruptions. How weird. How weird is that? There is one ferry worker who's speaking out, Christopher Anderson. He was on with Dory Monson on our sister station, Cairo Radio. He's going to be fired next week because he's not getting the vaccine. He put in a religious exemption request, and like we've said over and over and over again, the state will accept it, and then they will deny the accommodations. And that's their way, they think, of getting around any kind of lawsuit. But of course, we know that all of these people have had a job that's been accommodated for the last 18 months. Every single one of these people that we're talking about here.
They said there's no way to accommodate my job. That would eliminate me being in close proximity to other crew members and other passengers.
Uh-huh. Are they vaccinated? And you're both wearing masks? So tell me what the issue is exactly. There is none. There is none. The argument that's being made by folks in the Inslee administration, public health officials across it, that does not make sense. But they're not content in just saying you will be safer if you were to get the vaccine. They're just going to pretend that you can stop the spread of the virus with the vaccine. You're going to pretend that if you are talking with someone who's unvaccinated, both of you are masked, you are vaccinated, or vice versa, one of them is in trouble. We know that that's not true. At the same time, we now have a better idea of how many school bus drivers in the Seattle Public School District may be fired on Monday.
Right now, there are about 100 drivers at risk of losing their jobs, which means we could see some drastic cuts be made to about two-thirds of bus routes. Those routes would be for general education kids, while special ed kids will get priority for transportation.
That's Lindsay Sheldon over at Cairo 7 TV. So things are about to get real, my friends. We've already seen what some of these bus route disruptions have done for schools in Everett and really across Kitsap County. Or not Everett, excuse me, Edmonds. Now you're going to see it even worse in Seattle. And remember the first week, how bad it was? Yeah, much worse. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore the city of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and the communities you care about most. And we start in Kitsap County, where in an effort to get folks to get vaccinated, their employees to get vaccinated, county employees to get vaccinated, they're offering a one-time payment of $500. They are bribing you with taxpayer funds to get a vaccine you may not want, you may not need, depending on your past infection. They're getting people who maybe are feeling a little bit financially vulnerable, pressuring them to get something that they don't want or need, assuming they don't need it, with $500. Commissioner Robert Gelder spoke with King 5. He said he hopes the incentive will actually convince people.
We actually went self-funded for our medical care in 2013, which basically means the county, in order to save money for our taxpayers and our budget, has ultimately took on the risk of medical claims.
Oh, okay. He worries that the medical fund that they have might disappear if they get a COVID surge from some of their employees, and then, of course, it then spreads and spreads and spreads.
You have enough of those, then it adds up, and it really makes that, it challenges and stresses the risk and the viability of that medical fund.
Now, to give you just a sense of where things are at, 65% of the county's employees are vaccinated. So there's 1,150 employees or so who work for the county. 65% of them currently are vaccinated. Or they believe are vaccinated. I made this point last night on Tucker Carlson Tonight. If you missed it, by the way, you can see it on my YouTube page. There are a lot of people who are vaccinated who are choosing not to turn in their paperwork. And I think that that can't be understated. They simply believe, and they're right to believe this, that the government has no right, should have no right, in demanding this of you. It would be one thing if it was voluntary. If it's voluntary for me, I would say, okay, yeah, I would volunteer that. I have no problem. But then when you tell me all of a sudden I have to as a condition appointment, no. Or that I have to because you want to know about my private medical issue? No, not going to do it. Now, to the idea of paying people, bribing people effectively to get the vaccine, Corey, a resident in Kitsap County, hates the idea.
It's bribery. I think it's a rotten idea. I think that that is a question for the individual to be able to answer for themselves, and I don't think that it should be put out there for us to have to get or not get based on somebody else's opinion. I think that it's our body, our choice.
She's my spirit animal. I can tell she's got some spunk. Valencia says she would leave her employer if that was offered to her.
I'd be looking for a new job straight. That's just the end of the end of the line right there.
Oh, I love these people. I got to move to Kitsap County. I mean, I'm not going to move to Kitsap County. But emotionally, I'm all in. I love it. They find it insulting. You're insulting me. And in a lot of ways, it is insulting. It's insulting on the one level because they presume that the only reason you're not getting something that they want you to get is because you haven't been financially incentivized. You haven't been bribed into doing it. That it's not based on a sincerely held religious belief. It's not based on a medical issue that you might have. It's not based in a principle. It's based on, well, we just haven't given you reason yet. Your principles, your religious convictions, they don't really matter. Here's $500. You'll turn on him, right? Well, everyone has a price. It ain't $500, I'll tell you that. Now, Commissioner Gelder said he's heard the criticisms, but he wants to make sure that everyone knows at the end of the day, while it's an incentive, it's not a mandate. Okay, fine. Well, then I guess you're not going to be spending all that much because believe me, King 5, they wanted to talk to people who loved this idea. I guarantee you. King 5, the worst. The woke station. They want to talk to someone. And if they could somehow turn this into an issue of racism, they would do that too. But they weren't able to find someone, it sounds like, who actually support the idea. Meanwhile, in Thurston County, coronavirus cases are starting to decline. Hey, it's almost like that's how surges work.
Our overall case rate is downtrending, but it's still a serious problem that we need to be very watchful over.
Yeah, everything is a serious problem. Yes, we understand that, and you are indeed supposed to watch over it. I get it. That's the health officer of Thurston County. Her name is Dr. Demyana Abdulmalik. And she says the decline is easing the stress on the local hospitals, only, by the way, and this is now my commentary, to see more stress come Monday when a whole bunch of people get fired. The state is bracing for an up to 5% reduction in force, reduction of staff. They're going to be fired. And that ranges from nurses or doctors to technicians and even the janitorial staff. All the people that make a hospital work, stay open, run efficiently, save lives, are the ones who are going to be fired. Those ones that were called heroes last year. They're going to be fired because they don't want to get the vaccine or they don't want to tell their employer about it. But it's good to know that right now, they're at least being honest that the hospital stressors, not COVID, staffing shortages. Now in Pierce County, COVID cases and hospitalizations have been dropping for weeks. The rate has slowed a little bit in the last few days, but it's been dropping and dropping and dropping because that's what happens. You see a surge of cases, and then it goes down. And it goes down regardless of any mitigation policies you're going to put in place. That's generally how these things work. It's how, by the way, it's worked in the past. Skagit County near the Canadian border is the only place it would appear that they're starting to see a case increase rate. But we don't know exactly why that is at this point. We just know that it's happening. I can tell you this. As we move closer and closer to Monday, we're just 2 days away, 2.5 days away. You're going to start to see some of the blame get shifted, probably back to COVID at these hospitals. They're going to ignore the fact that they fired all these workers. They're going to see a two-person increase in cases, and they'll say, hey, COVID is to blame. It's not the staffing. It's COVID. It's COVID. It's COVID. So just be aware of that. Be ready. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. Really do appreciate you tuning in on KTTH. Don't forget, if you missed my Tucker Carlson appearance yesterday or the Fox News primetime hit for today, you can always subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jason Rance. I post all of my Fox News and occasional Newsmax hits over there. You can also just text the keyword Rance, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770, and I'll go ahead and send you a link so you can become a subscriber. I talk on this show a lot about policing in Western Washington. That's kind of my beat. It's one of my beats, especially Seattle Police Department and the King County Sheriff's Office. That's what I cover extensively here. However, on TV, I have covered a lot about the policing issues in some other cities, and they lean on my expertise in this, as it were, because I know how officers feel when they work for mayors or for councils or for chiefs that they don't really agree with, that they think don't have their back. And so for the last, I don't know, 3-4 months or so on the Faulkner Focus on Fox News, which, by the way, I'll be on Monday morning at 8 a.m., I usually talk about Chicago issues. They have a very similar situation going on in Chicago as we do here in Seattle, in that the actual uniformed officers, not command staff, not even administration, none of that, actual officers, the ones who walk the beat, the ones who are doing the dangerous work, the ones who are constantly villainized, they too in Chicago do not feel like they are supported. And that's very similar to what's going on here in Seattle. Now, in Seattle, a lot of the ire is towards the Seattle City Council. Not so much the mayor, but the mayor doesn't get a pass. Jenny Durkin doesn't get a pass. But for the most part, it's the council because they're so vocal in their hatred of the police and their attempts to defund. Well, in Chicago, something similar, but it's more towards the mayor, who, as of the last about a month or so, has tried to change her tune because she realizes, at least in part, what it means to have a police department that officers don't want to work for at a time when crime continues to rise. But they have very clearly had a bad relationship, the officers and the mayor, Lori Lightfoot. In fact, when the officer was shot and killed in Chicago several weeks ago, and the mayor, despite the family telling her not to show up to the hospital, she showed up anyway. The cops who were there showing their respect to this woman and her partner, who was shot and at the time in very serious condition, they all turned their backs. They all turned their backs away from her. She tried to downplay it, thinking, oh, it's not that big. That's didn't really what it's exactly what happened. They don't have respect for her. And in a further display of a lack of respect, they're being told, officers are being told by their union not to comply with the vaccine mandate against officers. Now, what's curious about this particular mandate is they have to prove they were vaccinated. Teachers do not. So they're being treated much differently than teachers. So John Costanza, or excuse me, Canizzara, sorry, I had Seinfeld in my head. He was on earlier today to talk with Fox News, and he noted that there's only about half of the officers vaccinated, and the rest of the half, the ones who are unvaccinated or the ones who don't want to prove their vaccination status out of principle, they're not going to comply.
The numbers we have are probably around half are not. But even the ones that are still, like myself, believe that a forced mandate is absolutely wrong.
So he's taking a position based on, well, in part, obviously, politics and ideology, but his principles. He just does not think the government should be mandating a vaccine. It is a position that I hold. And I hold that as someone who is vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated because a governmental agency tells me to get vaccinated. And if I didn't want to, I'm certainly not going to get vaccinated because an employer tells me I have to. Now, a lot of businesses in the private sector, and in this case in Chicago in the public sector, they're saying you can either do the testing every single week or you can get the vaccine and you have to show your passport. But he's saying, no, we're not going to do this. They're actively saying we're not going to do this. And they are calling the bluff of the mayor, a mayor that they already don't respect, but a mayor that's going to look incredibly weak, feckless, with a mandate that is toothless. When after this, she doesn't fire half the force, because she's obviously not going to fire half the force. She can't do that. I mean, she could technically do it, but she's not going to do it in Chicago. This isn't some small city. This isn't some small town where there's no violence. There's more people shot in Chicago every single day than in a given month, sometimes, in Seattle. So they have leverage and they're using it.
Everything from this mayor is a dictatorship. This is all about policy from the top. There was no public outcry for this policy to take effect. She just decided she was going to do it and push it on the entire city workforce across the board. There's low cooperation, and this is just not the police department. You include firemen, first responders. We've gotten calls from laborers' union, streets and sand, the water department, you name it. Mm-hmm. Everybody across the board is up in arms about this mandate, mm-hmm. but it doesn't matter.
They should be up in arms. It's wrong. It's wrong. The government should be hands off on this sort of stuff, especially when it's not based in science or any data. There's no threat. They're not, certainly not the threat that they claim. You know, in the next hour, we'll bring it home on this topic, and we'll talk about how it's impacting the fire department and the King County Sheriff's Office. But again, this idea that they can't safely do their jobs is ludicrous. Now, what's going to end up happening is that while these 50% or so of the force are calling the bluff of Lori Lightfoot, she's going to come back and she's going to send out those letters that say, hey, you're going to be suspended without pay, or you're going to be terminated, which means you're definitely not going to get paid You better do it. She's going to try to up the pressure because now she has to save face, not only in the public's eye, but she has to worry about all the other employees with the city who are looking at this, wondering, hey, maybe I should wait and not get vaccinated. Because if they're not going to enforce the mandate with the Chicago PD, they're not going to enforce it with my particular agency or department. So she's in a really tough spot that she put herself in. And sometimes when people are in tough spots, they act out desperately and they do things that are wrong. So it's not like it's unheard of for a politician to be so silly and make a move like firing, even though I don't think that's going to happen. And part of the reason why I know it's not going to happen or think it's not going to happen is not only do you have the rise in crime in Chicago, but you also have the exact same issue you're seeing across the country, including here in Seattle and Everett and in Tacoma. Across the country, you're seeing a lot of empty positions for police officers not going filled because people aren't putting in their applications to become cops. Why might that be? The last 18 months. And not even 18 months, less than that. From May on, and really a little bit before May of last year, you had a rise in anti-cop vitriol, rhetoric, violence. Right at the end of May, after the George Floyd killing, all of a sudden all cops are, fill in the blank, ACAB. And it was picked up by politicians, mayors, council members, senators. And people realized, I wanted to be a cop, but not under these conditions. Not when you're changing laws to make it easier to go after me. Not when you are deciding to lean into the rhetoric while also you would be my boss. No, thank you. I'm out. So they're saying no. I'm very curious to see what happens in Chicago. As curious as I am to see what's happening here in Seattle. But as the governor said yesterday, and I doubt the mayor of Seattle is going to do anything different. She'll be in lockstep. Thanks for your service. Waves and says goodbye to the folks that he's choosing to fire. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.